All right. Thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John. We're going to get into John chapter 3 this morning as we go through it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And, of course, we have the writer, John, one of the disciples of the Lord, one of the original 12 that leaned on Jesus' breast at the Lord's Supper. He probably was just a teenager, maybe, when he first started following with the others, with following the Lord Jesus, but turned out to be one of the most faithful disciples, and God used him to write much of the Bible, the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd John, and then, of course, the book of Revelation. And he was an old man by the time he wrote the book of Revelation, supernaturally saved from martyrdom. While the others had been martyred at different stages, John is believed to have died of natural causes, even though they did attempt to martyr him a couple of times. It was like God supernaturally preserved him because he still had something for him to do. So that's kind of an encouragement to some of us that's counting a lot of birthdays. God's still got a plan. We let him be the boss. Amen. John chapter 3, we ended up in chapter 2 with some powerful statements that condemn the fallen nature of mankind. Boy, we don't need much proof of it. All you got to do is read the newspaper, see the news, know what's going on. It's an amazing thing. He ended up in chapter 2, the Lord Jesus speaking. He'd come in at the Passover. He'd done some miracles, and a lot of them believed on him, but it didn't fool the Lord. You know, you read in the scripture where some of them followed him because of the bread and fishes. A lot of folks follow the Lord today for what they can get out of it. And in some cases, big religion is big business. And yet it's just as fake as it was the crowd that was following the Lord Jesus to get something physical, materially, from him. And so he makes a statement in the last few verses before we move into chapter 3. Chapter 3 is somewhat an illustration of it, really. It says here in verse 23, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name." Now, it says they believed when they saw the miracles which he did. Probably like today, some of them are real believers and some of them are just in it for what they could get out of it. But it didn't fool the Lord at all. Look at it in verse 24. "But..." Here's the opposite truth now. The word "but" always crosses the street to the other side. "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Now, that wouldn't be politically correct to say that today, would it? The psychologists would not want to agree with that. They think there's a divine spark in everybody. No, the fire got put out by sin a long time ago. There's no spark left. Ephesians chapter 2 says we're dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. And you have to face that about yourself before you ever want to come to the one that lives, that can bring life to you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think on those verses, the Lord was not fooled by man. Man, you can dress him up, you can primp him up, you can put good smelling stuff on him, but in his heart, the Bible says, Jeremiah said, the heart is still desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's still true. I was reading newspaper this week where Friday, where the sheriff was caught the guy in 35 minutes after he came up and kidnapped, seduced a 10-year-old girl. I don't know where it made the TV or not. It was in the Ledger. And it just blows your mind, the depravity and the sinfulness and the evil. And I'm so proud of our sheriff doing the job he does. He said we were there and caught him in 35 minutes, but we were 35 minutes too late. He'd already abused the kid. That's awful, isn't it? And you just keep hearing about man's depravity. Some of you are not going to like what I'm fixing to say, but I want to say it because I want to hear it. Politically, we're seeing our soul sold to the devil in America. You got at least some that would stay in power if it means calling in all the criminals across the border to vote them in. Now, you ought to be discerning enough to know what I just said. That's where we've sold our soul right there. It's pitiful. And while we might be, by the grace of God, having a little reprieve, it's not going to last long at the rate we're going. Could you believe that some of them are upset that we might ask somebody if they are an American citizen? Isn't that a terrible thing? Just got them all in an uproar that we would dare want to know who belonged to the country or not. Boy, we're a little bit late asking that, aren't we? Very late. Very late. But people got offended. I don't know. It is amazing. I want to move off of it to say, now here comes an example of what Jesus just said. He said he knew what was in man. He's speaking of the worst side of man. He's talking about man's hypocrisy, man's fakery, and all of that. And here comes a guy to him that'll pretty much fit the description. Hold on with me a minute. Don't mix up Nicodemus and Zacchaeus. There's a difference in even the attitude. The guy may come with a good one, may not. We'll study it here in a minute. There was a man of the Pharisees. Now we know who the Pharisees were, don't we? And they were the high-top religious group. They were the ones that thought they were so good, they looked down on everybody else. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Who was he? Says he was a ruler of the Jews. All right, he had a high position. Politically, we'd say he was up there. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Sounds like he's praising the Lord a little bit here. He comes to him by night. There's a lot of folks want to come by the back door. They're ashamed to come through the front door. And he was probably coming because of political pressure that he would have had on him with his own group had they known that he came to Jesus. See, Jesus at this time, in the eyes of the Pharisees, was pretty much a heretic. He was a religious fanatic. He was the kind, if you caught him preaching on the street in front of the post office, you'd walk a real big circle around him. He was disdained, already being disdained more and more. And here this Pharisee was not going to come to him in the daytime. He had a reputation to protect. So in that sense, he pictures the fakery and hypocrisy of man. Now, it says he came, called him Rabbi. And he done what a lot of liberals will do today. They'll agree Jesus was a great teacher. That's what he says. Thou art a teacher come from God. Let me correct that. He is God come to teach. There's a big difference. A lot of folks want to accept him as a teacher come from God, but not God himself. But he is God. It says, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, all of that is pretty accurate in the eyes of the secular world, but he was more than that, more than what Nicodemus here was crediting him to be. And so in verse 3, Jesus rebukes him. You might not see it so clear, but think about it. Jesus answered and said unto him, unto who? Unto this Pharisee. He's called a man. There was a man of the Pharisees in verse 1. So Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what did he do? He skipped all that flowery talk that Nicodemus had. He skipped all the praise, the buttering up that he seemed to be trying to do. And he went through all of it and cut right down to where the tire meets the road. Don't matter who you are, you need to get born again. It's a pretty good gap there. Nicodemus probably about to come in there hoping that such a good Pharisee as he was, maybe Jesus would pat him on the back. But he didn't. I've seen a lot of folks like that. Oh, yeah, somebody else needs to get saved. They slept on the bridge last night. Somebody else needs to get saved. They're drunk. They're a dope addict. Yeah, they need to get saved, but I got news for you. The high and polished and educated and rich need to get saved too. Same way, get born again. And that's where the ground gets level at the cross. And that's where folks resent it. I could tell you so many illustrations. I stopped to gas my car one time. Man came out to gas it, and I handed him a church tract, and I invited him to church, and he was putting the gas. And yes, it was a long time ago. They don't put gas in for you no more. I know you know that, but it was a long time ago. And he said, "I don't need this." I said, "Well, have you ever been saved?" He said, "I don't need to get saved." I said, "Do you know that everybody's a sinner?" He said, "Not me." I was nice to him, but I said, "What you just said is would be enough sin to do till you count some more." And the truth is, brother, we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the scripture says, and anybody that's honest will have to admit that. But anyway, he said, "Here, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, that was big news to Nicodemus, and it was a put down. It had to be a put down. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man..." And here comes man's reasoning in, and man's reasoning is so short when it comes to the mind of God. God does tell us he'll reason together with us, but you won't find the Lord by reasoning. You're going to have to have spiritual illumination that comes from him. And how can a man be born when he's old? Seems like a legitimate question. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So probably, as far as the Pharisaical talk, that should have really trapped Jesus, but of course it didn't. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily," or we would say, he's saying this is true, "I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus had in his heart a desire to be right with God. So the bottom where the tire met the road was, yeah, he wanted to be sure he was going to be all right with God. So enter into the kingdom of God. All this is teaching. It's teaching the one that would have considered himself a teacher, a Pharisee. He's learning a lot in a hurry here. And people get hung up now on born of water and of the Spirit. The water here is not water baptism. Please be sure of that. If you're in a church that teaches that, that's not right. It's not baptism. By the way, I saw in the news where the Pope is celebrate Easter like he does, celebrates Mass, and he baptized 7. Anybody see that in the news? You're not good Pope followers, are you? Anyway, he baptized 7. Now, how many of you know how they baptize? A little bit of sprinkling, a little bit of water. That's not scriptural either. No way. And baptism don't save anybody. It don't save the babies that they sprinkle. It don't save the adults that they sprinkle them. And even if you immerse them in the water, it still don't save them. Now, so what's Jesus saying here? Born of water and of the Spirit. The next verse tells you what it is. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know that, if you don't know it, check with a lady that's about to give birth. She knows about the water. She well knows about it. And the natural birth has something to do with water. God in his miraculous, and it is a miraculous thing, how that baby can grow and form in the body of that mother, and yet part of the protection has to do with water, don't it? So a water birth is a natural birth, right? And so it says, speaking here of being born of water, but there's more to it than that. If you're going to be born again, you've got to be born of the Spirit. Amen. So you need a natural birth. That's birth number one. You need a spiritual birth. That's number two. That's why we say born again. We use the Bible terminology, born again. Number one, in the flesh or of the flesh, of the water. Number two, of the Spirit. Now, somebody says, once born is not, and they're right, once born is not good enough. You need to be twice born And that's what the Lord is explaining here. To who? To a religious man who thought well of himself. He belonged to the highest group in the Jewish religion, the Pharisees. And all of a sudden to be told you're coming up short, that's not enough, you need to be born again. And he didn't understand it, and he asked the dumb questions he asked, like any man would. And then the Lord corrects him here and tells him you got to be born of the flesh, but more than that, you got to be born of the Spirit. The second birth, being born again. And so he says in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I think it was George Whitfield, the old English preacher. Excuse this cough here. They say he preached on this theme of being born again thousands of times. And his preaching, and probably John Wesley's, they say saved England from having a revolution like the French did. The Bloody Revolution, if you know the head chopping and all that went on in the French Revolution. And because people begin to get born again, you know what's needed in America is a lot of born again people. First, we need the born again people that are in America to be willing to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did somewhat in this last election, but if we don't keep speaking up, I fear we may have already gotten outnumbered by people that were just worse than Nicodemus. At least you'd say about him, he was moral. He was following religious rules. He was living a clean life. He'd have been a good neighbor to live by, maybe. But we got a crowd today that's not that way at all. They're the worst of the worst and the lowest of the lowest. And they don't know any better because they've never been shown any better. Certainly not in the public schools, and not in a lot of churches. Have they ever heard what we're reading just plainly from the verses right here? And so Nicodemus was top of the line, but he needed to be born again. If the top of the line needs to be born again, certainly the bottom of the line does too. And it would be our answer in America if we could get this truth back. It might save our country from a lot of bad stuff ahead. But the first birth is a fleshly birth. That's when we goo-goo at the baby through the glass window when they're born. And it's something. The truth is, look how pretty it is. Most every baby looks pretty. It's sad they have to grow up, right? But with all old joking aside, I've often said it's a wonder a baby ever learns to talk. Because the stupid talk we have at it. and even if a bunch of adults are standing around and little babies around, we'll all start talking baby talk to the baby. We're not embarrassed at all about who's hearing us. You ever notice that? The baby's got to cut through all that. And some of us never cut through all of it. I still got some of it, and you have too, maybe. But anyway, he's talking about the physical birth and then needing to be born again. And then he explains it a little further here. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Now, I don't think I'd ever thought about this. I'd been in the wind many times. I don't think I ever thought about this until after I got saved and started reading the Bible, reading this. If someone would have said to me, was that a windy day? I'd have said yes. If I was in the wind, I would have known I was in the wind. But did you ever stop to think you never have seen the wind? Just like this verse says. Well, I saw the tree bending over. Yeah, you saw the tree and you know the wind caused it, but you didn't see the wind. And the Lord is comparing the new birth to the wind here. He says, you're not going to see it. You know about it. You can feel it just like you feel the wind, just like I feel this throat won't get right. Anyway, you know it, but you don't really see it. And you know something? Somebody can be right around you and hear the gospel and get born again, and you may not see it. If it happened, you'll see the change in their life later. You'll see a difference. You can see the difference when the wind blows. It blows our roofs off around here. We just cleaned up the youth camp Tuesday. We know the wind was out there. We got the evidence it was out there. All those trees on the ground, we know it was there. But I didn't really see it. And so it is when somebody gets born again. You may not see the Spirit do it, but you know it happened when you see the results later. And so that's what he's talking about here. He asked him, how can these things be? In verse 9. In verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, and kind of a little bit coming back now to this intellectual thing, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Almost cynical with him, almost mocking him. You mean you got a doctor's degree and you don't know this? I'm not too high on the secular colleges. I have a hard time with the heresies that's taught and the attack that they bring against God so much of the time. I'm for right kind of education, but much of it is the wrong kind, an anti-God education, and in so many cases. I remember a reporter here in the area that was fussing at me so bad over the Ten Commandment rock, and he was just saying a lot of stupid things. And one of the stupid things he said, he said, well, there never was such a thing as Ten Commandments. That's just something you Christians got from the Charlton Heston movie. That's what he said. Hand him a Bible. You know, the Ten Commandment movie, a long time back. The better one of the ones that have been made, probably. But anyway. And a lot of reporters around, and he said that. He was trying to get me every way he could, and he was the worst of the bunch trying to be critical. So I looked at him in front of all of them and called him by name, and I said, did you graduate college? And of course I did. I forget which one he named. Yeah, I got a degree. I said, I thought so. You'd have to go to college to get that stupid. I thought that maybe they'd print it, but they didn't. But they all laughed at him, helped shut him up. I mean, how much dumber can you get? I wanted to say, I think we got second graders in our church could tell you better than that, you know. But that's the world out there. Yes, he graduated college. And yes, he gave an honest opinion. He didn't never know nothing about the Ten Commandments. Crazy. But the world is like that right now. It really is. It's so politically correct, it stinks. I saw in the news this week where Purdue University now is putting out the rule you're not supposed to write or read anything that's got the word man in it. See, that's a gender violation. The college, from the top down, is where your heresy always comes. The corruption comes from the top down, not from the bottom up. Always comes from the top down. And that's the way it works. Jesus is telling a very educated, religious, sophisticated, well-respected man of the community here, you don't have enough to get you to heaven. You got to get born again. And so he asked, how can these things be? And Jesus said, art thou a master? Are you a doctor, a master of Israel, and you don't know this? What college did you go to? It's kind of my input between the lines. Verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know and have, and get it right, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now, what's Jesus saying? He's telling him, I'm from heaven. I know the whole truth. I'm God. And yet you here receive not our witness. Now, he's not just talking about Nicodemus. He's talking about the whole crowd Nicodemus represents. And that crowd still exists today. Still does. You receive not our witness. Then he says, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And folks, let's think on that one. If I can't believe what this book says, literally word by word, I'm going to be stopped right there. You say, well, I don't understand it all. No, but you can believe God anyhow. You can trust God anyhow. Now, I want to come to Nicodemus' defense just a little bit. Just this passage here, you wouldn't know whether he accepted Christ, whether he believed on Christ or not. You would know if he might have been like the rich young ruler that went away sorrowful after he talked with the Lord Jesus. But we can tell just a hint if we look at another place that Nicodemus probably did believe. He might have got born again. In fact, I kind of think he did. Go with me over to chapter 7. Just move over to your right. Go over to chapter 7. We'll pick it up in about, let's see if I can find it here, about verse 50. It's chapter 7 first before I look for the verse. Okay. There's an argument going on here in chapter 7. There's a division among the people concerning Christ. There was then, there still is today. Officers come to the chief priests and Pharisees in verse 45. They want to know, how come you didn't arrest him? And in verse 46, here's a great testimony. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Well, then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Now, who was Nicodemus? He was a ruler, right? So here the rest of the party of Pharisees here are saying, did any of us believe? In other words, you dumb officers over here, no man spake like this man. What are you talking about? None of us really smart fellows have ever believed. You know, the young folks will still have that used against them today. It is amazing sometimes how the young folks are taught that no real educated, no really rich, no really high, powerful person believes on Jesus, and that's a big lie. Sat on the airplane with a scientist from the Cape over here several years ago and flew out to Dallas, Texas with him. He was one of the top brains of sending the missiles and the rockets to the moon. He was a born-again Christian, and we had great fellowship. He said the only reason we can send the rockets up is because God created laws that we can trust and follow in nature. Oh, wow. Don't let them kid you. A lot of well-educated, smart, powerful, wise people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I go over here to chapter 7, though, and I pick it up. They ask, any of the Pharisees, any of the rulers believed? It says in verse 49, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed, these low-class ones, he says. Verse 50, Nicodemus finally speaks up. He's in the crowd. He's a Pharisee. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, identified him, didn't it? Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? You're going to be the judge and the jury both? You're not going to give him a chance, even by our own law? You haven't heard the other side. Now, Nicodemus gives us a little bit of witness here that he is a believer, that he is different. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. They're trying to pull the Old Testament scripture on him. Of course, they're wrong. They're wrong even on that. Verse 53, and every man went unto his own house. He broke up the group, apparently. When all of a sudden one of their rulers did speak up, one of the Pharisees did speak up. Again, I come back to it. What we need today is to have a holy boldness based on the knowledge, not a college degree necessarily, but a knowledge of God's word that we believe and trust and can use it. And if you'll study it, it'll take care of you when you need to. God will call it back out of your heart and put it on your lips at the right time. That's what the word promises. We're supposed to store it in our heart, right? And the Bible tells us we ought to be willing to give an answer to every man of the hope that we have within us. And there's a lot of folks would like to have a better explanation. Jesus gave Nicodemus here a great explanation. And it's still a truth that we need to park on, no matter who or how high up in status in the world they are. They need to be born again. Amen. And John is a good book. take them to show them that, and then it's a good book to tell them to read to increase their faith in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right.